Lovely sunshiny day. It's good to see you. Thanks for bringing those joyful smiles, okay? It's good to see you. If you're visiting with us, we are happy to have you here. And I want you to know that you're welcome. Look at a few announcements before we begin worship. You see a couple listed in the bulletin. February the 20th at 7 p.m., the Ladies Auxiliary. And then on Wednesday the 22nd, choir practice at 6:30. Bible study February 23rd on Thursday at 10 a.m. Coming up to Deacon's Meeting March the 21st at 7 p.m. Immediately following worship today, the cemetery committee needs to meet in the Covenant Classroom. That's the first room on the right in the educational building. I have a couple of cards. Thank you so much. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. Dear church family, our hearts have been so touched and gladdened by the outpouring of love and support shown to us during the recent illness and passing of our husband, father, brother, and son, Clint Smith. We appreciate all that has been done for us, the food, cards, calls, visits, feeding the cows, prayers, everything was much appreciated. Now, as we go forward in the days and weeks ahead, we ask that you keep us all in your prayers, but we know that our loss is heaven's gain. Love you all, Christy, Gabriel, Colby, and Donna. Your kindness is such a blessing. Dear church family, thank you for all the cards, visits, meals, and especially prayers since Mama's passing. Your loving kindness and support means so much to our family and has been a great comfort to us during this most difficult time. Mama loves you all very much, and so do we. Love Rhonda, Beth, Reese, and Kevin. God loves a cheerful giver, and so are you. Thank you. Do we have any other announcements? All right, let's begin worship.
Please take your bulletins and stand as we read together the responsive reading. Come, let's praise God together.
Let's tell stories of God's power and majesty, His mighty acts throughout history.
Let's remember the compassion He has shown toward us, His mercy and unfailing love, generation after generation.
Let's pass these stories along to our children and grandchildren, so that they too may come to know and love our God.
For God is great and worthy of our praise.
Let's worship God together.
Father, we've been blessed to be here today to worship you. That's our desire. We pray we can feel your presence through the power of your Spirit, that we can feel your movement in us and through us, that we will be strengthened, convicted of our sins, and our relationship with you restored in such a way that we properly represent you to people we meet each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you will remain standing, turn to 686 in our hymnals. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, 5, and 6 of O God, Our Help in Ages Past. Has our scripture readings this morning.
The Old Testament reading is from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Here in the storm, he still
We continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to mention this morning? Okay.
Paul Smith.
Paul Smith, okay.
Chandler Quinn.
Chandler Quinn, okay.
Marcy Howe.
Marcy Howe, okay. Any others? I'm sure there's unspoken needs. We'll remember those too. The Lord knows. And let's not forget to thank Him for all His blessings. Let's take this time together as we pray.
Father, we thank You for all the new blessings that You bless us with each and every day. We can't count them, and most of the time we don't even pay attention to them. We thank You for looking after us in all so many ways. I pray for those that are being put on by bullies such as Ukraine and other places in the world, and the catastrophes that are being dealt with from Turkey and Syria. Lord, I know You're with them. You're amazing. What You do, is what You do, and how You do it in so many ways. And it really is kind of overwhelming when you think about it. You're God, but yet You're right there with us, each one of us. Right there sitting next to us, and we don't even realize it sometimes. Thank You for being our God. I pray for all Your churches. I pray for the people in them. I pray for the church on the hill. And we thank You for everything You do for us. I pray for Joe and the message that You've given him. Guide us and direct us as we worship You collectively, Lord. For it's in Thy precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to 342. We're going to sing all three verses of Rock of Ages.
I'll see. Father, we're in this hour. We call worship. Father, we're here to take up a portion that you have blessed us with throughout this week and throughout this season. Father, we're so thankful for your blessings. We're so thankful for those revivals that's breaking out, Father. I'm just asking, Father, there's people here today that needs to feel you. Take it from me or whatever you need to do, Father. I just ask that they can feel your presence move through this church. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the trials that humble us down so that we can be working. Just please bless this offering, Father, that your hands will be felt. We ask all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Stand for the doxology, please. Seated. So I'd like to thank the ones that came out to Mary's kitchen yesterday. Team Carrie. So Brandon and Michael and Selena and Courtney and a little young girl, Braden, and a little girl named Lindsay. We found out she was from Pennsylvania, had moved down here with her brother, but she was working on a community service project, and she helped us. We had a good time ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus. What, we had like 125 plates served, something like that? What was it? 118. Okay. Plenty of chicken. All right. But it was good. Thank you. Ephesians 5:15 is our text for today. And our thought is, what if I organized my life? A phrase that we've heard all our lives is, all men are created equal. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
It's in the Declaration of Independence. You want to look it up. If it were being written today, they would probably put it like this: all people are created equal. It's a foundational principle of our society. Now, some might say, well, that's just not true, preacher. We're not all created equal in terms of social status or ability or intelligence or opportunity. Maybe so. But there is one way that we're all created equal. We all live by the same clock. We all have access to the same amount of time every day of our lives. You, me, the president. We all have 1,440 minutes to invest in every day. And what we do with those 1,440 minutes determines what our life will become. We're continuing our series called What If? If you're joining us for the first time, it's about exploring the possibilities of doing those things that we can do. There's some things that only God can do. And there's things that he expects us to do. So that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about things like forgiving others and changing our thought process, changing the way we talk, getting rid of worry. And all that's been going good for you, right? All right. And today we want to talk about taking control of your life, which means taking control of your time. The word time occurs over 780 times in the Bible. And the Bible challenges us to take control of our time. In Ephesians 5:15, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time." The word time. The writer of Ecclesiastes wrote, "For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." When I talk about becoming more efficient with our time, I'm not talking about being a time tyrant. You know, I'm not talking about constantly cutting people off and cutting people short, moving on to the next thing, okay? What I'm talking about is organizing our lives in such a way that we spend most of our time doing what matters most. Now, it's necessary that we do this because there are a lot of things that are vying for our time, aren't they? And some of this stuff is pure junk. And it's necessary that we organize our lives simply because there's so many things that can consume our time that are not really that important. And if we allow those things to consume our time, we miss out on the things that are important and have eternal value. Now, I'm not trying to tell you I've mastered my schedule. I still have to work hard at organizing my time. All of us, no doubt, I would say, have a lot to learn about how we can better organize our lives and how to better manage our time. If we don't manage our time, we have problems. There are problems associated with not managing your time. You know, when you don't take full control of your schedule, you create problems for yourself. Number one, wasting time is wasting life. Your life consists of individual days divided into hours and minutes. And when you spend those hours and minutes doing the wrong things, your life takes a wrong direction. If you lose money on an investment, you can earn it back later. But you can never get back wasted time. Get amen on that one.
Amen.
Wasting time causes us to miss opportunities. When you're doing today what you should have done yesterday, that limits the possibilities that God can bring into your life today. How many of you when you were in school and the teacher told you 3 weeks ahead of time you had a paper due? How many of you put it off to the last minute? Two people, all right. So what happens? The night before you've got to write that paper, your friend shows up with tickets to some great event, say, come on, you can go with me. It's going free. It ain't going to cost you nothing. But you can't go. Why? You got to write that paper. And the mismanagement of your time caused you to miss a wonderful opportunity. And for many people, this just isn't a school thing or a college thing. It's just a way of life that follows them all through their life, right on through the years of retirement. Their life is one missed opportunity after another. Now, I know that I'm talking to y'all. Now I'm talking to y'all, am I? But that's good advice to give somebody. Wasting time leads to regrets. You ever used that word before? I regret. It causes us to look back on our life and realize, you know, I could have done that. I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. We can think back probably, I'm sure, to many times in our life to where we wish that we had used our time in a more efficient, a better manner. So many times we regret the missed opportunities. And I'm sure this goes beyond people and even goes into the life of a church. You know, a church can miss opportunities that come their way as well. Well, preacher, what good is it going to do if I get organized? Let's talk about that in a minute. The truth is that it's pointless to discuss today how we might have wasted yesterday. You know why? It's gone. There's nothing we can do about it. So there's no need to waste our time doing that, right? Tom Clancy said, fix your eyes forward on what you can do, not back on what you cannot change. And too often we live our life focused on the past, but that's wasting time. The only valid discussion for today is how we might make better use of our time today and tomorrow and into the future. And it's certainly worth the effort. Since time equals life, using your time well means using your life well. So using your time well means that your life will become what you want it to be. Every day, we all have the opportunity to move in the direction of the potential that God gives to every single one of us. Using your time well is a good thing. And when we use our time well, we have less stress. Anybody stressed out today? Is it a time issue? I read the story about a guy that was traveling over the Christmas holidays, and he intended to park his car at his friend's house for free, but he left late. And when he got to the airport that day, he couldn't go to his friend's house, so he was in a hurry. When he got there to leave his car in the long-term parking, it was full. And so what he had to do was he parked illegally. And so the entire time he was visiting his parents during the holidays, he kept stressing and worrying about what? Is my car going to get towed off? I'm going to get my car back. I parked illegal. How big is the ticket going to be? Came time to go home. Believe it or not, he left for the airport late again. Traffic was worse than what he thought it would be, and he missed his flight home. But the airline did sell him another ticket. But he had to fly way out of the way to another state and 6 hours on standby. Instead of getting home at noon when he expected, he got home at midnight, and he managed to maximize his stress level for the entire 7 days of his Christmas holiday, all because he wasn't willing to make a 60-minute adjustment to his schedule on the day he started his travel. Now, I know y'all have never done that. Now, I'm not pointing my finger at this guy because I'm pretty sure I've set some world records on being late too, but But I have found out when I manage my time well, it never ceases to amaze me how easy and stress-free it really is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, preacher, that sounds pretty good, and I might agree with you on a couple of them points there, so how are we going to put it into practice? You know, the thing about God's Word is when he tells us to do something, most time it's really practical. It's simple. You know, we make it hard, but it's not hard. And we'll talk about three things here quickly. How do we put it into practice? How do we start taking steps in this direction? First of all, we must start building routines into our daily life. Does anybody here have routines? We have a few anyhow, don't we? We got to get up at some point in time, right? All right. So we begin developing habits of behavior that enable us to move in the direction we need to go, right? Some of us get up because we have to go to the bathroom, right? Some of us have other ambitions. But beloved, really, we need to position ourselves for God's power in our life. God doesn't operate from a position of weakness. God operates from a position of strength. And when he commands us to do something, God's used to winning, not losing. And God, when he asks us to do something, he's going to provide what's needed. So we need to position ourselves for God's power in our life. You know, it's God's job to win. It's our job to move in the direction that he commands. And to do that, we must begin to build this routine into our daily life. King David, you know, he did a lot of great God-sized things in his life. And this is what he said in Psalm 5. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait in expectation. In other words, David said, as he set this routine, I'm just not going to talk to God and go about doing something. I'm talking to God to hear something. I'm going to listen because I know God is going to direct my daily routine, and I'm going to meet him there, and I'm going to fall before him. The Bible says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, and he prayed. Let me tell you something. If Jesus needs to pray to get going in the morning, I think we do too. Amen?
Amen.
It was his routine. And it also said that on the Sabbath day, Jesus went to the synagogue, as was his custom. Jesus didn't always go to the synagogue to teach. He did a few times, we read in the Bible. But it was his custom to go and to worship God with the people of his community. It was there that he set that routine in his life. And how about Daniel? The Bible says that Daniel prayed to God three times every day. Three times every day, he bowed on his knees to pray and to praise God. Even though they threatened to kill him if he prayed again, he still went and got on his knees and prayed to God just as he had built that routine into his life. What should a perfect daily routine contain? Well, I reckon that depends on your needs. Amen? I think we have to make a list, right? Write it down. Make a list. I think we have to structure our day. What we're going to do in the morning, what we expect by midday, and then what we expect of an evening. Does that make sense? Yeah, structure your day. Get specific. Put down specific things you want to do and you want to accomplish. And I would add to that, be sure you make time for God on this list. The more we build godly routines into our daily lives, the better use we make of the hours and the minutes that God gives to us every day. Start building routines. The second thing is give the best things your best time. There are some tasks that if I don't do them first, I might not get around to doing them at all. Anybody ever had that problem? So I make sure to do these things as quick and as early as possible. There are things that I only do well if I first clear away all distractions so I'm able to focus fully on the task at hand. I like to get up early when it's quiet because there's somebody around our house and they get up, it's not quiet any longer. So I like to get up real early, around 5 o'clock, to do my reading, my studying, like Jesus did, you know. I just don't go out of the house. But I like to get up early because when I'm fresh and rested and alert and it's quiet. In Psalm 90, one of the Psalms attributed to Moses, it says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The author here is not asking God to tell, you know, "God, how many days do I have left?" We'd like to know that, wouldn't we? I don't know if we would or not, but he's not asking God to tell him how many days he'll live. He's asking God to help him understand how to best use the limited number of days that he has. He's asking the same thing that Paul told us to do. Make the best use of your time. You can't go back and live it over. And that means give the best things your best time. Is your family important to you? Well, don't give them leftover time. Give them the best time. Is having a dynamic walk with Christ important to you? And then don't wait to pray and to read your Bible until you're too sleepy to keep your eyes open. Is praise and worship important to you? Then do not allow other things to take the place of your daily relationship with God. Give the best things your best time. And then the third thing I would say would be choose a better way to waste time. The fact is we're going to waste time, right? You know, that's what businesses do to try to create efficiency, is to remove unnecessary steps from the process. We tell our guys, don't work harder, work smarter, okay? Every unnecessary step that you remove makes you more efficient. It's the same way in life. We're going to have wasted time, but if we can curb that a little bit, we're going to get better at what we do. We all have those moments when we want to do nothing, right? Some of us more than others. But when that time comes, we have a choice, don't we? We can sit on the TV looking at reruns of Mayberry RFD. Or we could watch a show on the life of Christ. Or we could listen to worship music. Or we could just open the Bible and start reading some of the great stories and the truth that God has preserved for us. The key is to find a way to use your downtime in a way that continues to build you up. I sit a lot. I need to exercise in my downtime. And in conclusion, someone once observed that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. A guy wrote a song on that. What was it? Wasted days and wasted nights, huh? Remember to hearing that in the tobacco patch. Yeah. You know, God gives us opportunities daily that we can choose to either use those opportunities to invest in eternal things, or we can just allow them to drift by without taking advantage of the tremendous gift of life that God has given to us. The difference between those who succeed and those who fail is not found primarily in talent, but in diligence and effort. Time is important. I used to like to go and sit on the porch and talk to old man Calvin's what we called him down at Davy's Shore. He was over 100 years old, and he would always be sitting out on his porch with his cat in his chair. I'd go up and sit with him. He would always say, "Hey, Sonny, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good, Mr. Calvin. How you doing?" "I'm a has-been." "Sonny, I've seen something you ain't seen yet." I said, "What's that?" "Time." There's a lot of truth to that. And time management really is important. And it's a matter of organizing your life so you spend the most of your time doing what matters most. What if you were to organize your time in such a way that each day takes you in the direction of God and all that He has in store in front of you? You've been hearing about the Asbury Revival. It's amazing, isn't it? Today's the 12th day. And they had a chapel service at Asbury, and they've not stopped. It's been going on 24/7. People are flying in from all over the world. They're having to come up with new locations. So many people are coming in to the Asbury Revival. An example of putting forth what matters most to the extreme in it. 24/7, can you imagine that? And what started last Wednesday, it's been going 24/7 since. Time is important, the way we organize our time. Church, what if we positioned ourselves in such a way the Holy Spirit would have free reign over our lives? What would happen? Oh, it'd be God-sized, wouldn't it? And I'll say this humbly, I think there's so many people, sincere people, and church is praying and hoping for God to do something. And I often wonder if maybe God is just waiting on us to do something. Something that He's already equipped us to do. Something that He has given us everything that we need to be successful at. Something where we have positioned ourselves for His power to be channeled through us in God-sized ways and wonders. Paul said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as the wise. Make the best use of your time." What if I organized my life? Father, we thank You for Your word today. And the truth that it presents to us. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy and the blessings that we have. We live out of abundance, and we're certainly humbled and thankful that You've given us all we have. Help us to use those gifts wisely and the time You've allotted us. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to 479, stand and sing the first and last verses of Softly and Tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Again, we thank you all for being here, bringing the spirit of worship. Carry it with you when you leave and bring it back next week. All right? Visiting with us, we're certainly glad to have you today. Remember those who've asked interest in our prayers and the cemetery committee meeting over in the educational building. Anybody got anything to say before we leave? All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, you've been good to us, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for being present with us today. We certainly feel your presence. Go with us when we leave. Help us to be a reflection of your love, your mercy, and your grace to all we meet. Till we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen.